Well, if you were here last week, we talked about the importance of men loving their wives, and my wife said I was a little bit aggressive in that message. So it's kind of interesting to see who showed up for week two of this little... I heard a lot of women say, are we next? Well, you know, I don't want to disappoint. So today we're going to be talking about how to be a good helpmate. And let me ask you this. What does the world teach us, the Bible says, a woman should do? Submit. All the time. Sit in the kitchen, right? Keep it clean. And always be ready to deliver a sandwich anytime your husband wants one, right? You're not, you obviously don't have the ideal husband. The Bible teaches us, or the world teaches us, that the Bible says a woman should be a slave to her husband, right? Is that what the Bible teaches? Nobody wanted to answer that question. That's interesting. All right, let's see what the Bible says about a good woman. Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. And so he will have no lack of gain, and she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar, and she also rises while it is yet night. And she provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet, and she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. And when he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." That's a little bit different than what the world says the Bible thinks a woman should be. Is there anything in that passage where the man says, could you go get me a sandwich? The reality is, a biblical wife, or the biblical view of being a wife, is not one of limit, but it's one of heart. It's one of purpose. What am I trying to accomplish? What am I here to do? Who you are made to serve is a very important thing for you to understand as a wife. Who are you made to serve? Or we could ask the same question in another way. Who has God put in your life to watch over and to protect you? And actually, the list is very long, and I want us to understand this in context. The first one is God. God is your creator. Whether you're married or not, God is your creator, and you are put here on this earth to serve Him. We talked about that being true of the guys last week. It's true of the women as well. Deuteronomy 13:14 says, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and hold fast to Him." That is true for all people. And so, first and foremost, we are to serve God. And I mean first and foremost. Secondly, for those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we are to serve Christ. Our job here on this earth is to serve Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Colossians 3:23-24 says, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Interesting caveat. When you stand in judgment after this life is over, it's not your husband that's going to be standing up there judging you. It's going to be God and Christ. And so your allegiance, your purpose, should first be to honor God and Christ. Christ is the one that's going to hand out the reward for living a good life. So, we have God, we have Christ, and you have your husband. God put you on this earth to serve your husband. Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." But there are others. There's also the church. We are to submit to the church. Hebrews 6:10, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, and in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." We have a responsibility to serve the church. And of course, we know that Christ is the head of the church, and we are to serve Him through the church. We also have another authority that God has placed over us, which is government. Romans 13:4-5 says, "For He is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid, for He does not bear the sword in vain, for He is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practiced evil, and therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake." And then the last one is self. And I put that last on purpose, because that's the least one that you should be concerned with. But you are here, put here, to serve yourself. And I don't mean to be selfish or self-serving, but God has given us authority over ourselves. And we ought to exercise that authority in a way that is good and right. Philippians 2:4 says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Well, that means that we are also supposed to look out for our own interests, right? We have interests, and we ought to look out for them. There's nothing wrong with making sure that your interests are being met. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." There's nothing wrong for your heart to have desires as long as they are within certain parameters. What are those parameters? Well, they're what God wants, what Christ wants, what your husband, the church, and government. If they fit within those realm of authority, though that will for your life, then you are certainly free to look after your own interests. And it's actually a very good thing. Somebody who doesn't look after their own interests is somebody that we are very concerned about, right? If you don't eat healthy, if you don't bathe, if you don't, you know, take care of yourself, we get concerned, right? Because it's a good thing to look after your own interests, but we shouldn't be obsessed with our own interests. We should be looking out for the interests of others as well. So, I put this list in this sermon for this reason. Whether you have a husband or not, you have a lot of other people that God has put you here to please. Men, you don't have a husband, but you still have a whole list of people that God has put you here to serve, right? And the husband is the authority in the family unit, in the family structure, okay? The husband is not the authority in the church necessarily. The husband is not the authority in government necessarily. Although sometimes, you know, for example, Joe Biden right now is the authority in government and in his own family. Unfortunately, probably not doing that great of a job, but unfortunately, it is what it is. So, wives, your husband is one person that God has put you here on earth to please, but he's not the person. God is the person that you are here on earth to please. And make sure that you're doing that. Okay, how do we serve? Point number two. Actually, before I go on to that, I also want to say this. Wives, you have an authority structure outside of your husband that you can appeal to when things aren't going well. And you ought to appeal to them when things aren't going well. Sometimes I counsel women, and they say, my marriage is really, really bad. We're in a really, really bad situation. And it's like, okay, well, why did you let it get to this point? Well, I didn't know what else to do. Well, let me tell you today what you ought to do. When things are starting to get bad, find an authority that God has placed in your life to help things get better. Right? Whether you go to his parents, whether you go to your parents, whether you go to the pastor of the church, or if it's appropriate, you go to the police. Don't allow sin to grab hold of your family and destroy it. God has placed those positions of authority there for your benefit. And it is not wrong for you to put yourself under those authorities, whether it's your own personal sin or whether it's the sin of your husband. First, go to your husband and appeal to his conscience, his own interests, and say, husband, I don't think this is the right thing. I don't think you're doing the right thing. But if he won't listen to you, you have options. You have places of authority that God has put in your life for that very purpose. Please do not neglect the responsibility to report evil in your family's life so that that can be dealt with properly. Okay, moving along. How do we serve? I think this is very important for wives to understand their role. Their role is a role of serving their family by serving their husband, right? And in order to do that, there has to be a vision. If you've had any marriage counseling with me and Isabel, you know that we talk about vision a lot, especially in the last couple of years. It is very important for the man to put out a vision for the family. And it is very important for the wife to understand the vision. Most wives don't understand the vision because the husband hasn't communicated it. And a lot of times the husband hasn't communicated it because he doesn't have one. And that's a problem. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." When we think about serving God, we understand that serving God means knowing what God wants us to do and doing what God wants us to do. Right? And trusting that He's going to work that plan out for our good. Well, whether it's a wife and a husband, whether it's an employee, an employer, whether it's a child and a parent, whether it's a citizen and the government, how do we serve? We first have to understand what it is, the vision that's trying to be accomplished, right? If we have a work day here at the church and everybody shows up to work and we say, okay, what are we going to do? And everybody looks around and says, I have no idea. It's really hard to get anything done because there's no vision, right? And without a vision, the people perish. That's right. So the first thing we have to do is understand the vision, which requires us to learn. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That means that somebody, in order to follow God, they have to study their Bible. They have to learn what it is that God is teaching them. And wives, unfortunately, that's your responsibility. You picked that guy, just so you know. And you need to understand him. You need to learn him. Which means when you're having a conversation, you need to check for understanding. Proverbs 25 says, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." Your husband, you need to learn how to draw out of him what you need to know. Proverbs 2:2-5 says, "So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Now you might be thinking to yourself, "Pastor, are you comparing my husband to God?" Well, let me just answer that real quickly. I'll answer it later, actually. The answer is yes. Not because he deserves to be compared to God, but because God has placed him in authority over you. God is your authority, and your husband is your authority. And in that way, your husband is comparable to God in that you need to learn and understand what the vision is. Things like saying, "This is what I hear you saying," right? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. "This is what I hear you saying. Is that what you meant?" "No." Da-da-da-da-da-da. "Okay, this is what I hear you saying." Checking for understanding is very important. Learn the vision. Check for understanding. Communicate. Communicate. How do we communicate? Patience. James 1:19. "So then, my beloved brethren, Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in setting of silver. What do we communicate? We make sure we clarify the vision. Give feedback. Highlight positives. Share concerns. Encourage. I want to say that I don't envy your role at all. If we think about this list of authority, there's God, Christ, husband, wife. Okay? Wife is the first person on that list who has to submit to a sinner. Guys, you better realize that. You're asking her to submit. I shouldn't say you are. God is asking her to submit to you, a sinner. Somebody who doesn't always have her best interests at heart. Sometimes you are very selfish and you serve yourself, and yet she is asked to submit to you anyway. But I will say this. It is very important, wife, to understand your role in the marriage. God has placed you in an important, important position. And one of those is to be an encouragement. Right? God said he needs a helpmate. And one of the ways he needs to be helped is to be encouraged. Proverbs 16:20-24 says, he who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it. But the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. What is the role of the wife? Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. You ever heard of the expression, cut off my nose to spite my face? Some women, because they get bitter towards their husbands, they destroy their own family. That's not a wise woman. A wise woman builds up her house, her children, her husband. You have an important role to play. Just because God has asked you to play a supporting role does not mean your role is not important. It is crucial. It is crucial not only to God's will, to the fulfillment of God's will, but also to your husband's will. And might I just take a moment to say, for those who are not married, how crucial it is to find a man who is serving Christ. If you're looking for a husband, I can tell you, money will not buy happiness. It won't buy security. But a man who serves and loves God, he will be good to you all the days of your life. Any women ever come across this scenario? You ask your husband, what would you like me to do? And he says, I don't know. Really? Is anybody listening? Any women out there listening? Okay, just one. All right. Well. I'm pretty sure there's more than that. Let me tell you the answer to this problem. First of all, he might not know what he wants to do, right? And until he decides what he wants to do, it's very hard for him to communicate it to you. But there's also some other scenarios that it's important for you to think about. He might not know what you are willing to do. It's very frustrating to communicate a vision that you know is not going to be accepted. And so rather than communicate it, you just hold it in. He might not know what you're willing to do. He might not know how much energy you have to give. He might not know whether you will have a good attitude. He might not know what the vision that he has requires. And so to tell you exactly what is required, he might not know the answer to that question. He might not know what your skills are. And so sometimes, rather than saying, "What would you like me to do?" if you get that answer, "I don't know," communicate some of those things. "Hey, I would like to help you for the next couple of hours. How could I be a blessing to you?" Help him to understand where and when and how you are willing to help. C. Submit. Now that might be obvious, but it's an important part of the step. Once you understand the vision, once you understand what he wants, say, "Okay, let's do it. Let's do it." Right? He needs to hear that affirmation. "Yes, I'm willing to go all in and do what you want me to do." Wives, likewise, to be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some of them do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. I realize that he is a sinner. I realize that he doesn't always have great ideas. And no, I'm not telling you that you always have to go along with his bad ideas. But what I am telling you is this. Once you get down to the end of it, and you say, "Yeah, let's do it," give him that approval. Submit to him. Give him a verbal submission of, "Yes, I'm willing to do this." Don't walk away and say, "I'll think about it," and then don't ever come back. Fourth, work towards the fulfillment of the vision. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord, as is fitting in the Lord. I was talking with Eric Larson this week, and he put it this way: you have to put it into practice. And I think that's just an excellent way of, and we weren't talking about necessarily wives submitting to their husbands, but we were talking about submitting to God's will. And he said, you got to put it into practice. And I think that's just such an excellent saying. Yes, we understand what God wants, but until we actually put it into practice, it's not really going to be helpful to anybody. Work towards the fulfillment of the vision. Give it your all. So that's how we submit, right? How do we submit? We understand the vision, understand my role, submit, and then do it. Okay, in closing, I want to give you some tips on how to be an excellent wife. Now, these are not tips I give you from experience. but they are helpful. How to be a great wife. First of all, commit yourself to God's will. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you." I cannot tell you how important this is. Your husband is not perfect, and he's not always going to lead you in the right direction. And having a wife who says, "You know what, husband? I love you, but because I'm serving God and I just don't quite understand how this makes any sense to serving God, I need you to walk me through this. Walk me through this decision that you're making and how this is congruent with my commitment to follow God. Help me understand." And then he's going to say, "Well, yeah, okay, you're probably right. We shouldn't do that." And he might even get frustrated with you for that. He might even get discouraged at you for that. But a good partner is not going to allow their partner to go off in the wrong direction without first saying, "Hey, I have a greater allegiance in my life. I cannot go in that direction with you." So first, commit yourself to God's will. Second, understand the spiritual battle. Realize that in your home there is, yes, there are physical battles that happen, especially amongst children. And every once in a while, you know, there's some words said between husbands and wives. But understand what is really going on is not the words that are being spoken. There is a spiritual battle going on. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And I want you to understand that Satan wants you to fight your husband, not with your husband. And we have to choose, are we going to fight against evil, or are we going to fight against each other? And wives, it is important for you to understand that when your husband says something to you that hurts your feelings, he might be in a spiritual battle of his own, and he might not be handling it very well. That doesn't make an excuse for him, but I just want you to have an eternal spiritual perspective. Your spouse is fighting their own demons and sometimes losing. So if you want to be a great wife, which I know you do, realize that. Now, that does not mean allow him to be abusive to you. That's where you have authorities that can come into your life, like your pastor. You can say, "Hey, pastor, I think my husband's going through a spiritual battle right now. Could you give him a call?" "Hey, pastor, our family is not doing well. Would you please come and visit with us?" The reality is people don't fall out of love. They quit loving because they submit to another power, which is evil. And when you have two people that are submitted to evil, it's very hard to get along. Third point, train with a good attitude. What does that mean? I did not put serve with a good attitude because I think that gives this idea that at some point we arrive at, "Oh, I am the wife," you know? The reality is, as a couple, we're always working to try to be better. We're trying to grow in our roles. The husband is leader of the home. as the spiritual protector of the home, the physical provider of the home, etc. And the wife as the helpmate. And some days you're going to do well, and some days you're not going to do well. Some days the kids are going to be compliant, and you're going to be able to get the goals that you had done, and some days they're not going to be compliant, and everything is going to fall apart. But understand that doing your best with a good attitude makes all the difference. Don't quarrel. Proverbs 21:19 says, "Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." If your husband doesn't like coming home, it might be because you like to quarrel. It might be because you're contentious and angry. And he's saying, you know what? It would be better to go find a wilderness to live in than to be at home. That's not coming from Pastor Mike. That's just what the Bible says. Forgive. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." You got to forgive. You got to let go. Number three, serve with goodwill. Serve with goodwill. Ephesians 6:5-10 says, "Bondservants." Now, Paul is talking to people who were basically working for another person. We would call it an employee today, but these are bond servants or slaves. "Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as man-pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." This isn't necessarily talking about marriage, but it is talking about this dynamic of authority, right? That whether you're the person in authority or whether you're the person under another person's authority, our first allegiance is to do God's will. Right? Whether we're free or whether we are enslaved, we are to be bond servants of Christ. We are to work out of the sincerity of our heart. As to please our husband? No, as to Christ. When you're at home or when you're working, yes, you do want to please your husband, but your first allegiance is to please God. Illustration I like to use is this. My love is very selfish, right? I get flowers and I bring them home and I put them on the counter and I say, "Wife, look at those flowers." And she says, "Yes, those flowers are very beautiful." And then I just kind of give her that little, you know, googly eyes. And right? Because I want her to do something for me because I just did something for her. And God is saying, no, that is not the right way to think about it. The right way to think about it is that whatever job you've been given to do, do it to the best of your ability with sincerity and heart, for the Lord, not for your husband. And so when your husband messes up and he screws up, as he often does, and you say, "Oh, he doesn't deserve to have his laundry folded today," or "He doesn't deserve to have a fresh meal today," or whatever it is that you're upset about, don't do it for him. Do it for the Lord. Serve with goodwill from the heart, and God will be pleased. And husbands, make sure you do the same thing. When your wife is struggling, and you say, "Oh, I don't want to share her with my vision again. I don't want to tell her what I'm trying to plan because she's just going to complain about it. She's just going to shoot it down. You have a responsibility because it's the position that God has put you in to say, hey, this is what I think we should do. And she might shoot it down. But give her that opportunity. Encourage her. Help her to understand why you want to do the things that you want to do. Be patient with her. When she's overwhelmed, come alongside of her. What can I help you with? When you get home, recognize that you're coming home from a long day and you're tired, but there has been a war going on all day in your home. And don't fight your wife. Help her. And the last thing that I want to say, besides train with a good attitude, which is very important, which actually I didn't get to the fourth point, which was respect your husband. But we'll skip that part. And go to this one, D. Seek unity over control. Seek unity over control. Genesis 2:24 says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. God's goal for your marriage is unity. God's desire for your family is unity. Genesis 3:16 says, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. What does that mean? It means one of the curses of sin is that you will want to control your husband. He's going to make a mistake, and you say, hey, honey, you're not very good at this. Let me take over. Now, that might be true. And he might say, you know what? You're better at this. You ought to take over, right? God put you in his life because there's things he's good at that you're not good at, and there's things that you're good at that he's not good at. If you guys were both good at the same things, that's not really a very good helpmate, right? I don't need another exact copy of me. I need somebody to balance out the things that I'm not good at. And so I'm not saying that, hey, just because she's good at something, she shouldn't be able to participate or to have a level of delegated authority. But what I'm saying is this. It's very easy for the wife to say, let me take control of that. Let me take control of that. Let me take control of that. And then she starts to look around and says, well, I'm doing everything in this marriage. Why doesn't he do anything? Well, it's because you try to take over everything. You want to control everything. You don't allow him to make mistakes and learn from them. Seek unity over control. Allow him to grow into the man that God has called him to be. Proverbs 11:22 says, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Now, you guys can go home and study that verse and see exactly what you think it means, but we're just going to move on to the last point, which is totally commit to the vision. Proverbs 12:4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Who is an excellent wife? It's somebody who says, the husband says, you know what? This is what God wants me to do. And she says, let's do it. And she gives her whole heart and soul to do exactly what God and her husband want her to do because it's the exact same thing. How awesome would that be if God says, this is what I want you to do, and Christ says, I want you to do the exact same thing, and your husband says, I want you to do the exact same thing. And then all that's left is just to do it. Unfortunately, us men, we're not quite that simple. But when your husband comes up with a good idea, totally commit. Show him. Hey, I'm willing to put my all into this dream that you have. Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the women in this church. I thank you for the role that you have given to them. They are amazing people. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as husbands to fulfill the obligation that we talked about last week, to dwell with them with understanding, to love them and to cherish them. Lord, so that they might respect us. Help us to give good counsel to them. Make sure that our visions are right and good and worthy. Lord, that they would come alongside and help us the way that you have designed, the way you have intended. Lord, I pray that those who have not yet got married, Lord, that you would help them to see how important it is not to find somebody who looks beautiful on the outside, but to find somebody who is beautiful on the inside. It's easy to find an attractive person and ask them to marry you. It's difficult to find somebody who loves the Lord and sees that you do too, and to sell out to each other and to say, we're going to do life together. Whatever happens, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to encourage each other. When we get to the end of our life, we're going to celebrate because we gave it our all. We gave each other our all. We gave God our all. Lord, I pray that that will be what each one of us can say. That doesn't mean we'll be perfect along the way, but it means that we forgive each other's mistakes. We help each other where we're inadequate, where we fail. Sometimes we say, hey, guy, that's not the right thing to do. Sometimes we have to correct our wives and say, I don't think you're doing the right thing either. But if we're serving the Lord, if our heart is in the right place, it will be blessed. Lord, I just pray, I think towards 2023, Lord, you have this year ahead of us with amazing opportunities for us to serve you. But we first have to humble ourselves. We have to do what you want us to do. We have to bow down to you and ask you to bless us as we put into practice the job that you've given to us. I pray that you would help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I think we have a final song, which is We Have an Anchor.
Clouds of